A reading from James 3, 13 through 18. Who is wise and knowledgeable among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be arrogant and lie about the truth. This is not wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This is a reading from Proverbs 8, 1 through 4, and 22 through 36. Does not wisdom call and understand raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all who live." And now let's welcome Reverend Tim Gowra with his message for us, entitled Before the Dawn of Time.
Join me in a quick word of prayer. God be present between the word spoken and the word heard. Amen. We don't normally get good stories in Proverbs. I like stories. I usually turn to the book of 1 Kings, or as one of my patients once said, 2 Kings, and Esther in the Hebrew Scriptures, or perhaps the Gospel of Mark, or the book of Acts in the New Testament. But the lectionary text for today brings us a fantastic story from the book of Proverbs. We read the first 4 verses of Proverbs 8. It goes on to talk about wisdom joining God in the creation, right? That before the beginning of time, wisdom was present. Wisdom as the first of the creations. In the darkness, in the deep, wisdom joined God in co-creating the world. Wisdom is personified as a companion, and she joins together with God in the creation of all that is. She is a witness to life from formless nothing, from chaos to glory. Now, no doubt, like many of you, I grew up going to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, in addition to all of the special services for evangelism and missions and other special events. In my church, the children of these families who were always present were called church mice. I don't know where that came from, but it is what it was. I say this because I have deep roots in Scripture, roots that I've become more and more grateful for the older I become. I know I have heard this passage of Scripture taught many times, and I have read this chapter individually in my private time several times over and again, but I have a confession to make. In my preparation for today, this is the first time that I've read this passage of wisdom's story with all of the experiences of 2 years of hospital chaplaincy, and it has changed everything I thought I knew about this text. I'm going to focus in on a small passage in verse 30. When God marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him, like a master workmen, the RSV says. In King James, it says of wisdom, then I was constantly at his, God's, side. Wow. I've had the privilege of being invited to walk with many patients, partners, families, and hospital staff through the many stages of the journey from this life to death and the hope that lies beyond. There are times that words mean nothing. There are times that the words that come so easily to our lips, such as, I am so sorry for your loss, inflict pain and elicit feelings of anger and disconnection. There are times when the most powerful thing, the only thing I can do as a chaplain is to be present, to be a constant companion, to witness. In the midst of chaos, of severe illness and death, sometimes there are no words to say. But you say, Tim, this is a joyous passage full of glory and rejoicing. Yes, I respond, you are right. But why did God create the world? Have you ever thought of that? I'm increasingly drawn to the growing theological opinion that God created the world for relationship, for connection, for embrace. Out of a feeling of, well, perhaps loneliness. Did God and wisdom have a conversation before God said, it is not good for man to be alone, there in Genesis? Did the experience of wisdom's presence by God's side inform these words? As I sit hour after hour by parents who wake up to find their child died in the night, and listen to grandchildren say their final goodbyes to mamas and papas, there is a deep sense of wisdom and love in these words that it is not good to be alone. I wonder if God created wisdom, the world, and all of us because God was lonely. What I'm saying is, at this admittedly minor phrase in the passage, then I was constantly by his side. In that phrase, I think we see the wisdom of companionship and all of the virtues of heavenly wisdom James tells us about. That heavenly wisdom is first pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. As I read all of these words, I hear relationship, vulnerability, authenticity, and most of all, love. One of my favorite videos growing up was a two-set VHS, for those who remember, tape adaptation of C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia. My grandparents had this video at their house. C.S. Lewis' Chronicles of Narnia is a series that has informed so much of my images and understanding of Christianity. In The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the lion Aslan, an image of Jesus Christ, offers himself in place of the traitor Edmund. The witch agrees to kill Aslan instead of Edmund and releases Edmund from her claim over him. This keeps the law written into the world of Narnia at the dawn of time. This law was written into a stone table. This law was that all traitors were the witch's property and hers to do with as she pleased. Edmund's two sisters, Susan and Lucy, witness Aslan's death upon the stone table and are startled when they hear the stone table break in the morning. And Aslan stands alive. He tells them of a deeper magic that was present in the stillness, in the darkness before time. This deeper magic stated that when a willing victim who has committed no treachery was killed in traitor's stead, the stone table would crack and death itself would start working backwards. One of the first scripture verses I memorized as a child was John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." I don't know if C.S. Lewis had John 3:16 in mind when he wrote this image to the Chronicles of Narnia, or perhaps, as this sermon would suggest, perhaps Proverbs 8, when he wrote about the deeper magic of Narnia. But when I think about wisdom being constantly by God's side in the deep stillness and darkness before even time itself was created, I feel love. A love that feels similar to the feeling of companionship I feel beside someone experiencing their own dark night of the soul, their own worst day ever. So, all of this is great, Tim. I'm grooving with you, but I'm kind of lost. What are you trying to say? What does any of this matter for my life today? I hear you. I really love deep theology and philosophy and all those other OGs, but it's not for everyone. I am joined in this life by depression and suicidal ideation. Much of this is the result of the intersection of conservative Christianity and my own queer identity. On that point, happy Pride Month, y'all! This is just one of my own dark nights of the soul. Another is a terrifying medical experience in another country several years ago. Now, maybe you have experienced loneliness and darkness so encapsulating that you feel overwhelmed by it. Perhaps that time is yet to come for you. In either case, know for certain that someone you know is either experiencing being overwhelmed by that darkness or is about to. In that moment when you have no words to describe your own feelings, in that moment when you have no words to comfort someone else, remember the wisdom and love of companionship. If you can, call a friend and tell them, you know, I just need someone to listen to everything I'm going through right now. When it is someone you know, never underestimate the power of apple pie, macaroni and cheese, or a good scotch. They mean so much more than "I know what you're going through" ever will. I don't know anyone whose mental health hasn't been affected by COVID over these last 2 years. We are all broken together. The key word there is together. We may not have a choice of whether we are broken or not. We may not have a choice whether these storms in life come our way, but we can choose whether we are alone or together. What does it mean that God herself chose to have a companion to create the world? And what if God created the world out of feelings of loneliness? What does it mean if wisdom and love danced together before law, before justice, before even time itself? What if God breathed every emotion you have ever had and ever will have into you with the breath of life? I believe that the answers to all of these questions are the same. It means that it is okay. It is okay to be human. It is okay to ask for help when you are hurting. It is okay to not have words. The church isn't a place for perfect people with perfect words and perfect faith. I believe such people are, in fact, only myths. The church is for the person who is struggling to decide whether the term Christian even applies to them, and also for the person who can't fathom life without Christianity. To all of humanity within us and all of humanity beyond us, Jesus Christ says, "Welcome home." An Episcopalian classmate of mine, I think, said it best by saying, "I go to church to hold the faith for others who cannot. When I can't hold it for myself, I go to church so others can hold it for me." I wish I could send my soul through this Zoom screen and wrap it around each of you in a hug. I want to tell you that you are enough, not because of anything you have done or haven't done, but because you are. You are made in the image of God and inbreathed with life and love and beauty, all of you. Whether you are experiencing the lowest valley of darkness or the highest triumph of achievement, you are not more or less worthy of companionship and love. If even the Creator of all chose companionship, then I think there is no shame in saying, "I can't do this alone." So embrace, be the companion, be love for others when you can, and know that it is more than okay, good even, to ask and accept companionship from others. Witness each other both in celebration and creation, and in sorrow and in darkness. Let us together be the church of which it is said, "Surely the love of God dwells there." Or to put it more simply, let us be a people that when others talk about us, they say, "Dang, but they know how to love." May these words connect all of us to Jesus Christ, who tells each of us, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." May God be glorified in these words. Amen.